Okay, what we know is that this essay is presenting a phenomenology of the religious experience, meaning the Rav is not talking about any particular person and describing his experiences in a chronological order, blow by blow. He's looking at the religious experience as a whole, the different elements, and he comes up with a dialectic, a conflict almost, between two facets or dimensions of the religious experience. One he calls either natural, sometimes he calls it intellectual, sometimes he calls it cultural. It brings together all different facets of the human psyche. It's very biological, it's very psychological. It's both the intellect and man's desire to break out of the confines of nature. He's looking for God. Man is seeking God. It's natural, it's intellectual, it's cultural, it's something that man develops over the course of time. It's spontaneous, it's an act of freedom. That is the religious consciousness of natural man. The other experience is revelational. Here's where man is totally passive. God appears. The Rav goes through Tanakh to show how man is totally subjugated. He's completely overwhelmed by this experience. He's in a state of fright. All the Nevi'im were physically trembled of the dread of meeting God. God at this point reveals himself to man with a command, with an imperative. Revelation is Kaf Aleihem Har Kigiges. Man has no freedom at this point. He is totally given over to accept the will of God in an absolute, unconditional way. There's no room for exceptions. God is the God of punishment. God doesn't tolerate any deviation. It's absolute. Okay, we want to pick it up tonight with an extension of this. Here it's on page 21. Shona, you have that? And once again, he's comparing and contrasting these two experiences. The revelational consciousness, which is Giluyi in Hebrew, as opposed to the cultural or intellectual consciousness, which evolves from the freedom of man when man seeks God. That he calls here the intellectual experience. He calls it Shonech Chavaya Datit HaSichlanit, which means Miloshon Seichel. This is man using his intellect. We spoke about different proofs for God's existence. The cosmological proof. Man is overwhelmed by the grandeur and the complexity of the universe. He's looking for something infinite, beyond the finite. He says this experience is radically different me'achavaya giluyit, from revelational consciousness. Gam biyachas lebayat ha'ishtalshalut, also in the way it evolves. Harishona, which means the cultural or the natural experience of God, mishtalshelet ba'otam kivunim, it develops in the same directions, shebehem mitgalmim erchei hadam tarbutiyim, meaning there are certain values that every culture develops for itself. For example, in Western culture, we have an emphasis on science, on technology. Along with that development on a cultural level comes this development on a religious level. Keep in mind, the Rav is describing an ideal situation. You know, you might say, well, the average scientist in, let's say, America today is agnostic, or maybe even an atheist. That's not what the Rav is interested in. He's interested in science in its ideal form, where man develops his culture, and together simultaneous with that development and advancement of culture is the advancement of his religious knowledge. The deeper, the more profound man delves into revealing the secrets of the universe, of science, the deeper his understanding of God. And keep that in mind as we go through this paragraph, because that's going to come up in a very dramatic way. It's going to be something that's so fundamental to Rav Soloveitchik's philosophy. He says the following: Bitzuma, in its apex, at its high point, at its most intense point, he idea, it's an idea, hamit gashemet, which is embodied, besagei haruach, in man's spiritual achievements, hapoleach shchakim, that cut through the heavens. Again, he's getting very dramatic here about man's ability to discover God out of the freedom and the will of himself, of man himself. He chut, it's a thread, tiferet of splendor, hayoter mashir umavrik, at the most radiant and shining way, shall halach nefesh adam, in the frame of mind of man, hatarruti of cultural man, shu ben tnua, he's mobile, meaning he's on the move, ben shinui, he's transforming himself, diuknan, his image, right? We saw this word diuknan many times in the Rav's writings. He likes to use it over and over again. So again, man is on the move, culture is developing, man is never at the same place for 2 minutes, his image is constantly transforming itself. Leficha gam hi batnuat chayim. This consciousness is full of, shall we say, motion, tnuat chayim, vital motion, libuv, excitement or fascination, vehit chadshut and renewal, tmidit, on a constant basis. And here again, the Rav gets very poetic. Haofakim, the horizons, marhivim ayin, they are full of splendor. Shkuyim hod. That's an interesting word. Shakui means to be drenched when you have wetness. Hod is glory. So I guess you'd say drenched in glory. I mean, it's again, it's poetry that doesn't translate well into any other language. What happens at the apex of man's search for God? Again, when he's coming from his own, you know, intellectual or natural consciousness. Ha'al-sofiyut va'sofiyut nifgashu. I would have thought it should say nifgashim. Okay. He says the infinite and the finite encounter each other. They meet each other. Ha'netzach va'zman nashoku. I'd say kiss each other or touch each other. The infinity and transient time touch each other. Now, listen to this. Kishamadamit kadeh, when science develops, with the development of science, mitkademet gam dat adam et elokim yotzer adam. The more man perceives and understands the Creator, the more he understands the more man understands the creation, the deeper is his understanding of the Creator. Okay, that's very interesting, because the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah seems to indicate that the way to come to Avas Hashem is by appreciating God's creation. So if we understand the laws of nature on a deeper level, if we reveal more and more the secrets of mathematics and physics, chemistry and biology, we get a greater perception, a deeper understanding of the Creator. Hachonein l'adam das, he with the capital H who endows man with knowledge. Kishadam megale yesodot hakara chadashim, when man is successful in revealing new fundamental principles, and he becomes more aware, hamavarim lo, which explained to him tofata teva, of nature and the way it works, the deeper man's understanding of the mechanics of nature, shelo ivin mikodem, because now science understands things that they just a month ago or a year ago they didn't understand, mit ameket gam chavayato adatit sechlit, what becomes more profound is his religious intellectual experience. My friends, this is what we call, in the circles that the Rav taught in, anybody know what this is called? Torah Mada. This is Mamish Torah Mada. The Rav, it's the first time, and Ish HaLachah, I never saw this, the first time that, you see, keep in mind, the Ish HaDat of Halachic man, the man of science of Halachic man, is not the man of Halacha. On the contrary, the Rav uses his personality to contrast the man of Halacha. Here the Rav is discussing truth insofar as it applies universally. And the Rav is presenting the religious experience as being enhanced and deeply, profoundly moved and developed in a deeper way by scientific advancement. That's really fascinating. You know, this is not something that you could publicize, you know, in the halls here, because they're going to tell you, you know, that you just got to get a parnasa, and that's it. But that's not what the Rav is saying. He says, "Haborei barat adam zachar nekevavet zivavotam lichvoshet olam." The Rav is hinting at his thesis in Lowly Man of Faith about the relationship between husband and wife that join together in a partnership in order to create a more technologically advanced world. Uridu ba'aretz v'kivshua, conquer the world. Utilize all its forces for the advancement of man. And as I told you many times, when the Americans landed on the moon, the Rav was beyond himself. It was like one of the most important days in his life, because it indicated how great man's achievement was, the capacity of man. Lichvosh, and here we conquer not only our planet, but another sphere. Echef shala adam le'enosh lichvosh et ha'olam afilu mashu vimenu im lo al yidei tfisat chukei ha'teva v'nitzulam l'tovat ha'adam. I want you, Rabosei, to take that sentence and attach it to the previous three words, uridu ba'aretz v'kivshuha, and what you end up with is a formula for how to serve God. Because again, it's God that's mandating to man at the very dawn and the very beginning of the Torah, uridu ba'aretz v'kivshuha, which the Rav identifies as conquering the world, or any part thereof, which is impossible, unless his understanding, his grasp of the laws of nature is more and more sharp, and he can utilize it for the benefit of man. I mean, isn't this what all of Mada is all about? And America, in a sense, at the forefront of technology to some extent, medicine, and so forth. I think the Israelis are coming, you know, giving them a run for their money. The Israelis are developing unbelievable things in the areas of medicine. But whichever it is, this is something that you and I would call secular, would we not? I mean, again, it's for the benefit of man. It's great to develop a camera that's this small that you're taking in a pill, and it could go through the body and take pictures of what's going on inside. That's wonderful. New advances in chemistry and in cancer research, biology, wonderful. But isn't that secular in nature? Would you give it a religious tinge? And yet, the Rav is identifying that as a kiyum, if I can use a longish word, of the tzivui of redu v'kivshuas ha'aretz.
He's saying that positive actually isn't meaning that's the mitzvah.
That's what he says here. I don't know. Again, you could if you want to rewrite the text, you by all means. But you know, I got the original here. This is how the Rav published the article for the first time. You know, we had a recopy of it, but the Rav says it, and that's what he's telling you. Now he adds another twist to it. He says you have to have a certain consciousness that's got to accompany your technological scientific advancement. What consciousness is that? Hitkadmut madait hi chelek tudat adam beolamo. Okay, I'm going to read this in his translation because it's a very complicated sentence. He says, scientific progress is part of a man's destiny in the world that the creator of the universe fashioned for us. You know what? I still maintain what I said before. The Rav is saying something that's totally secular. He's just positing that a creator created the world. So if you have a scientist who's developing new techniques and having a deeper understanding of quantum physics or whatever it might be, that scientist is part of man's destiny. He is fulfilling what God set out for man to do, to fill the earth and conquer. And who created this universe? God. So let's assume that this individual believes in God. That's all I need. I can already postulate that he's achieved a great deal. In the next paragraph, though, the Rav, I think, gives it a little bit of a different twist. He says, now, if you see the next sentence, which opens up the next paragraph, what's the last word in that sentence? Because I think we should rewrite this whole sentence here.
Bracha.
Bracha, okay? So what bracha is the Rav talking about? He doesn't spell it out. I think he's talking about the bracha of scientific knowledge, meaning all the benefits that man and human society gain from scientific knowledge is called in this sentence with one word, one term, a bracha. What is the Rav going to tell us about that blessing? He says, "Aval gam ha-tu'udah ha-datit, ha-todah, excuse me, ha-datit, the religious consciousness, ha-tiv'it, in this case, the natural religious consciousness, where man is in search of God, he bechlal ha-bracha. That too is somehow integrally related to the blessing itself. In other words, you cannot reduce the blessing to scientific knowledge alone. If you identify the blessing as scientific knowledge, period, without introducing the intellectual or natural religious consciousness, then it's not a full bracha. It's an incomplete blessing. Ein kibush ha'olam. Do you have the word hasviva in parentheses? Ein kibush ha'olam. The Rav gives you another term for it. In other words, conquering the world is not considered shalem. How would you translate the word shalem? Complete. It's not a complete achievement. Ad. All right. Now the Rav is adding a condition to the previous paragraph, which he didn't have. Shadam yavchin, until man distinguishes. Within the law of physics, matimati, mathematical physics, ganuz is hidden. Man has to be aware of the fact that as he reveals more and more about science and the laws of nature, mathematical physics in this case, he is now revealing the hidden, the concealed will of God within the universe. In other words, God's creative process has a will which is inherent in creation. We have to reveal that will. How do we reveal that will and discover God? How do we get closer to God, seek Him out and find Him? Through science. Ki abore nochach kan. We have to understand that the Almighty is present here, karov karov lanu, within our universe. V'gam, but at the same time, hatam, over there, rachok rachok mitanu, far away from us. Ein misimat ha'adam, man's goal or his job, mitgashemet, it's not completed al yedei gilui seder michani vilvad, just by revealing the mechanical laws of the universe. That's dry. Madaya veish lo yoshia ta'adam. That will not bring redemption to man. Pure science will not redeem man. And this is something that the Rav does reflect in Ish Halacha. Rak hishtalvut ha-seichel ma-da'im ha-lev ha-mechapes va-nechsaf l'kel chai yikadem et adam. I would take this last line and I would print it and enlarge it and put it as a banner. This is a beautiful, beautiful sentence. Not that the Rav needs my hashkama. This really captures everything in one sentence. He's saying the hitkadmut of man, the development of man, must be a result of the integration of A plus B. A is the development of man's understanding of the natural universe, and B, the heart, the yearning of the heart, the longing of the heart for the living God. We need both those two together. Maybe we'll finish this paragraph. Lufichach, therefore, asak ha-prochet Adam, God fashioned man, ish maskil, as an intellectual being capable of comprehending al-dvar emet madai, the scientific truth, but at the same time, God created man as what? As an ish mitgagel elukim, a man who yearns for God, v'choreg, and he craves mechartzuvot hamada gam yachad, to break out of the cold shackles of science at the same time. Yeah.
Seems like very much coming out of or reflecting the pasuk of Yerushas Chachma Yerush Hashem, that for 4%.
Right, that's a great pasuk in this context. But keep in mind, the Rav is not addressing individual man and giving him a musa shmuz. This is not a pep talk. The Rav is talking about humanity for all eternity and its inherent existential relationship to God. For man to be redeemed, he cannot be totally shakua. I don't know how to say that in English. Totally limited, confined, involved. What?
Entrenched.
Entrenched. Excellent. Entrenched in science as a mechanical study of gravity and the laws of physics. That will not be redemption to man. The Rav, by the way, doesn't prove his thesis. It's almost axiomatic.
He does sound like it does have independent value, though. Because he says before, in kibusho lam shalei macha adam yafin.
Ah, I see. You want to bring a dike, and you're like, oh, that's a real lava, you know. It's like in the places, you know, you take a show, it's a mitzvah skip. Well, I would support you, again, if you're making the yukim, with the fact that the Rav separates these two paragraphs. You know, when you read the paragraph that starts habore, you know, and end of paragraph, the Rav seems to say that this is the way God wants man to do. God desires man to achieve absolute control over the universe, the kivshuva. And, you know, if I can say that as a side comment, you know, the Rav sent his children and encouraged his grandchildren to go to the best, most sophisticated universities. And often I wondered about that. You know, like, you know, I can understand you want your child, you know, v'limadet t'mosim v'sbenechem, to be the biggest Talmud Chacham, send him to Lakewood Yeshiva, send him to the Mir, you know. Harvard? You know, where is it? Harvard, as the Bostonians say, you know, where does that come in? But you read this paragraph, and you know, to the extent to which you listen carefully to what's coming out of the Rav's heart and his appreciation and understanding of what the religious experience is, going to Harvard is not going to undermine your religious experience. Or becoming a mathematical physicist after 4 years at MIT, you know, where you have to do, by the way, an undergraduate thesis in order to get your bachelor's degree. I have a friend who graduated, my closest friend graduated at MIT. He combined physics, math, and computers on an undergraduate level for his thesis. You know, that, from the Rav's perspective, is man at his glory, at his apex, reaching the pinnacle of the Kivshua. So when we talk about Torah Mada and all that stuff, you know, you think it's just some sort of a, you know, an emblem, you know, it's a clarion call, you know, it's good for PR or something like that, but I'm telling you, Rabbi Moshe, here you see it. He is saying it. And he lived it. He believed it. And again, if I could comment on the side, his knowledge of science was frightening. It was scary. I'm not joking. I mean, this is an old series. I say this out of the depths of my heart. His knowledge of physics and math, his understanding of medicine was scary. He could discourse with the most advanced people in almost any field of human endeavor and just flabbergast them with his knowledge. And then he would come into a group of 100 not such dumb talmidim. I could mention a couple of names. Some were here and now, based Medrash. One was the former Rosh Yeshiva and one is the present Rosh Yeshiva. You know? And he could just dazzle them with his Torah knowledge. Although I do have to admit that once, I remember, we were learning the sugya of Maduris Akum in Psochim, and the Rav says, I'm a little bit rusty in olas. He said, you know, I was like a little rusty in olas. But I remember when I once raised my hand to ask him a question in Malika Bachatas Ofen, he said, Berzon, I think you better just listen, don't ask any questions. You know, he realized I didn't know beans about Malika Bachatas Ofen. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't on the, yeah, you know, I didn't have the half a peep rate to even ask an intelligent question. So this is an aspect of the Rav's Weltanschauung of the Hashkafa that has to be emphasized if you want to understand the Mensch. Again, you may want to put him in Cherem too, that's up to you. But if you want to be honest to goodness about what the man believed in and how he led his life and how he would design an educational institution for Orthodox Jews, you know, I'm not talking, it's right here, and this is amazing. But again, I keep in mind that this whole essay, Mubikashka Misham, at least until this point, I don't know if it's going to change anything, is really addressing the universal religious experience. Those distinctions that he operates with in halachic man, about ish halacha, ish hadas, all those go down the tubes here. He is not creating different personality groups. He's talking about man as a whole. He's dividing the religious experience into two dimensions. We haven't gotten to the second one. I think it's coming now. Yeah, now it's coming around the bend. He says, Hashniya, the second dimension of religious consciousness, he acheret legamre, is totally different. Hatodah datit b'shetach zehi, what is man's consciousness in this domain, is kamur lamal, as we said above, miyuchedet b'mina, is very unique. It hardly overlaps, and again, that's going to be an essential question, does it cross paths with the first consciousness, and how do they interact and interface? But right now, he's seeing it as something totally independent. Set up your barriers. Todaat heskemech rechi. It's an awareness of an agreement between God and man, but it's a one-sided agreement in the sense that man has no choice. It's hekrechi. It's forced upon man, foisted upon him. Hishtabdut, total subjugation. Kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. Ha'adam chai et chazon gilui shchina. Chai, I think he refers to what we discussed last week. Pentishkach es advam sharo einecha. That you have to have the experience of revelation in your mind, in your consciousness on a constant basis. Chai. And this vision of gilui shchina omeid me'ever l'samchuta shel ha'nefesh ha'tarbutit. It stands beyond the authority of the cultural development of man ayotzeret, which is creative, but it's bat shinui v'chiluf. We say that culture changes, it alters, it transforms itself, there's a constant metamorphosis. That's not so anymore, because now we've entered into a whole new domain. In the domain of gilui shchina, forget it, there's no culture, there's no change, there's no transformation. Kulo muvla b'tchum zar umatmiya. The entire experience at this level is engulfed in a zone which is zar, which is totally alien. It's astonishing. It's matmiya. Ne'edar hitchadshut. There's no change. There's no renewal. Vishtalshut ruchanit. There's no spiritual development here. Hakol kan matmid. Everything persists. Amidato, its existence. Hakol mitkadem, mitkayem. Vavaya yitziva. Yitziv means it's permanent. Vizeutit, and it's identical. You know, now we're entering into the world of infinity, so to speak. And in that world of infinity, there's no time, there's no change, there's no transformation, there's no itchadshut. Ein hachidush shu mipil'ei hazman. All the chidush and the wonders of time, chal, are relevant. Al mashu giluyi, something that is revelational. Hashofea, which emanates mi'chek hanetzach, from the bosom of eternity. Hitpatchut ve'emuna giluyit hem shnei hafachim b'nosei achad. Right? Development or change and faith in revelation are two opposites. They cannot coexist. Emuna perusha. What does it mean to believe in gilui shchina? Pu'ula shemitba'eret lo yidei shetef hatoda'a klalit hativit. It's not developing as a result of the stream of natural general consciousness. Ela al yidei gilui shchina l'adam v'itchabuto l'olam shekulo aroch v'shekula yitzivut v'atmada l'lo gilgul v'itchadshut. Man at this level is connecting through revelation to he's linking up to a world that's absolutely stable. It's persistent. It's consistent without any change. Now, Rabotai, if I would stop here, wouldn't you admit that he's not giving a great, what should I say, what's the word when you want to present something, you know, to get the accolades, you know, to get the audience, you know, rah, rah, rah. He's not being very complimentary here, I don't think. You know, you get that, what? What did he say? Yeah, he's not pandering to the audience. He's not puffing up this, you know, there's no cosmetic surgery being done here to the Todah Giluyit. It sounds all like boring, persistent, consistent. There's no creation, there's no culture, there's no, you know, originality. It gets me kind of scared. But you'll see as we go along that the Rebbe is going to say that if you don't have Todah Giluyit, it's going to be tragedy of tragedies. But again, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Maybe I did already. La mitoshal devar ha'adam ben amunah. The man of faith, mitparek li'itim me'edyo, he divests himself of his treasures, his jewels, hatarbutiyim, you know, all of his Phi Beta Kappas, you know, all the creations and the advancements, the achievements of science and culture, mishaltonah, shal metamorphosis, and also from any metamorphosis. Tzurat chayim giluyit, the form of life, the framework of life in this revelational consciousness, the ikrim, nituim, kimasmerim are based on or reflections of fundamental principles that are tied down like nails. Kofim et hanefesh. These principles are obligatory. They subjugate the soul. With akev berutzatai tanit, and there's no possibility of checking the powerful course of this gilui. Hatarbut shel tefet, whereas culture flows, loveshet tzurah poshet, takes on new forms, it strips itself of own forms, that which is in culturally today is out tomorrow, vice versa, v'gorefet et hadat hativit b'marbulta, but it sweeps the religious natural consciousness with its marbolet, which is its eddies. Hamuna giluyit, on the contrary, faith in revelation, mitgaberet, it overtakes, ala cholef over, that which is transitory, umekanat, milashon kino, I think it's jealous, latmada nitzchit, in other words, it jealously guards persistent eternity, kulanu ta'netunat in mizgeret ha'ones, it's completely given to a framework of necessity, transcendental necessity, mesachat benusach nitzchi, it's expressed in a formulation that is eternal. Kula shahut, it's all lingering, shalva, repose, the sheket and quiet. Pelam nucha betoch mitziyut shekula tenuah. The wonder of this experience is that it is one of repose within a reality that's completely on the move. The chilufin that's changing. And here, within that reality, you get zapped with a chavaya giluyin. Any attempt at changing the values in the area of emunah giluyit, machlish et kocha makori, will weaken its original power. It's got to be constant. There's no room for change. There's no room for transformation to try to improve upon it. These are the laws that come from an absolute, infinite world of Almighty God. They know no change and no transformation.
How is are we translating Emunah Hagiluyit?
Which word?
Emunah Hagiluyit.
Emunah Hagiluyit means the belief in revelation. Okay, let's see how he translates
revelation?
It.
Revelation?
Just 1 second. Where is it? It's the next to last sentence in the paragraph? Am I right? It's the next to last.
After the colon?
After the colon. It's like 4 lines up from the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay. He calls it, let's see what he says. Revelational faith, he calls it. Revelational faith. And then he says, overcomes the transitory, jealously guarding its eternal persistence.
That's
entirely faith. Given over to transcendental necessity.
That's faith.
That's revelation.
Revelation.
What?
That's faith through revelation.
Correct. Well, also, Shalom, it means that I believe in revelation. It's the faith that I get through revelation. It's the faith that I believe in revelation. Because again, if God didn't reveal Himself to you, you have to have faith that there was a revelation. But your consciousness of that revelation is a faith experience. It's not based on empirical science. Okay. Now, in the next chapter, which is a pretty short chapter, let me just see where we're holding on the clock. Okay. In the next chapter, the Rav is going to point out that there's a whole nother way of taking this dichotomy, this dialectic, right, the duality of man and these two kinds of experiences, religious experiences, and place it into a whole different framework, which might make it a little bit more comfortable for us to accept both streams as they overlap and they work as they integrate together into one whole. Pilug zesh yarad l'tocha todah transcendentalty me'urab in timnomia nitzchit hamalefet chaviat elokim. So he's basically saying that this dialectic, which moves in two different directions, and man experiences God in two different ways, he says, is involved in a certain friction. He calls it an antinomy. And it's an eternal antinomy. This is our experience of God. What is this antinomy? Hayadut kar'ala shem pele. The Judaism called it by a very wonderful name, Midat HaRachamim uMidat HaDin. And now the Rav is going to take two chapters, I should say two sub-chapters in this chapter, to define first Midat HaRachamim and second Midat HaDin. Can anybody guess between revelation and natural intellectual experience, where does Rachamim fit and where does Midas HaDin fit? You know, if you have to do a matching kind of thing.
Din fits on the revelational.
Speak a drop louder.
Din relates to the revelational experience.
Excellent. That's almost a dead giveaway, because everything that we've said about revelation is pure din. It's structure, it's law, it's kfiyah, it's compulsory. There's no room for man's choice here, or freedom of choice. It's not coming spontaneously for man. It's not man reaching out through the glorious universe to find God. It's pure din. The other half, you know, to describe man's intellectual or natural religious experience as midat rahamim, that's not intuitive. That's not apparently intuitive, immediately intuitive. That requires a little bit more working out.
What did I...
Speak a drop loud, if you don't mind.
Someone became without revelation, without giving the Torah. I would, just thinking on a pure nature basis, isn't that just, I really that they didn't have no Midas Rachamim, I just see a hurricane come out.
Okay, so let's see if the Rav can convince us where Midas Rachamim is connected or reflected in this natural religious context. So, Kim Hukel Rachaman, God appears at this point as a compassionate God, Asher b'cheiko ha'adam motzei osher v'tov muchatir. You know, it's in this description of the cultural belief in God and the religious experience that's natural to man, God becomes like the bosom where man finds fortune and absolute good. Shifat ha'adam l'elokim, man searching for God, so man now is lonely, he's unfortunate, he's left to himself, he doesn't have any menuchas hanefesh, and therefore he reaches out to God, who's going to give him osher, shalva, and sheket. He's going to give him all the good things that he needs. Hayachid mituraf, the individual who's left to his lonely self is crazy. Shakur b'mamakei chayim chiloniyim, he's totally immersed and entrenched in the depths of secular life. Klushei tam v'tochen, that are completely lacking in taste and in substance. By the way, would every human being on the face of the earth admit to this? Would your average secular human being confess to the fact that his life as a secular individual is meaningless, it's crazy, it's depressing, it's full of inner contradictions and dread? So what I want you to keep in mind as we go through this is the word esoteric. Because I think the Rav's description of the religious consciousness as man seeking out the answer to all his issues, his deep loneliness, that's something that's esoteric. You need a sensitive soul for that. Your average rank and file person who walks the streets of whatever hemisphere he lives in is not, shall I say, an appropriate candidate for this description. Ratz el Elokim, man runs to God, Ke'el miklat chisayon, as if he's running to a refuge that will give him security and strength and protection, sheket u'menucha, repose, and menuchas hanefesh, asher bo yishtachre misivlo ha'ilein, and he will find his freedom, his salvation from his silent suffering. Again, the Rav is describing a very deep, sensitive, profound soul. Hamavet orevlo, death is ambushing him. Ha'efes sodelto, nothingness, no, emptiness is capturing him. HaToladah mitoch adishut hamitlabeshet lefrakim b'mishtama iuma megalelo panim lo agot b'zehi lemas'at nafsho mitkaleset b'tikvat hatmirut u'mesakelet et yozmav. We'll get back to the sentence in a minute, but again, the Rav is describing the tyranny and the suffering of man who's alone and is overwhelmed by a wave of the laws of nature that threaten him, and maybe the storm would be give an expression to that. Ha'evel shebikiyum, the grief in life in reality, odefal agil, exceeds happiness, hachzava, disappointment, ola al hadshama, is greater than achievement. Ha'atum, that which is silent, mitkaber al hama'or, that which is clear and muvan and understood. Rotzeh adam lenatzech tamavet, man has a great desire to overcome death. La'foch et goral shoteh, to transform crazy destiny, li'ud ruchani, to some sort of spiritual purpose. Baal megama, that has a goal to it. The kivun in our direction was called the chayei sha'ah amusei osher. He wants life on this planet to be full of meaning, of fortune, of goodness, v'gam l'chayei olam, and also to achieve eternal life. Hu kamay l'elokim, he yearns for God. Asher b'seiter knafav yechaser, to find protection in the wings of God, u'b'tzilo yitlonein, in the shadow of God. This sounds very much like David HaMelech. He's going to quote David HaMelech later. Hashem ro'i lo achsar. Bo yimtzat asher tevakesh nafsho. In God he will find all that he desires. Let me just read to you that last complicated sentence in the English here. Death stalks him. Nihility haunts him. The creation, out of an indifference that is sometimes clothed in the guise of terrifying hatred, shows him a taunting visage, mocks his heart's desires, derides his lofty hopes, and frustrates his initiatives. Okay, so we see that man is in pretty bad straits, and therefore he longs for God. Ariga zubi kara, fundamentally, this longing for God, pragmatic, is practical. Bat yetzer, this is a result of the inclination, hamshachat hakiyum biologi. It's a reflection of man's biological existence. Hamu'ureba adam bal chai, for every human creature. Yetzer tiv'i chiyuni matzat bityav v'ritzat elokim. Man's natural desire expresses itself in longing for God, searching for God. Omnam kisufim elu go'alim et hayetzer. These desires, these yearnings, will redeem man mishibudo from his subjugation l'reshut teva to the domain of nature atum, which is concealed. Umirimimo tol l'gova ruchanin is gaf. Man's goal at this level is to be uplifted to the high level. This is in Shir Hashirim. This is man in search of God. Sharei gishum hakisufim yitzarim motzei adam birshut shehime ever laolamo. And by the way, the halakha is not going to reject this. Hadam bal teva vakeshet tkumato. Hadam bal ruach megalelo laadam bal teva et sod tkumato. Heichan yitzer umahi. Man, in order to stand up, to overcome all these difficult, terrifying experiences, must find something beyond him. And this is... The Mashkiach is coming in now? Oh, I always forget that on Tuesday nights he gives the shmooze. So we'll just finish with the next... With the next two sentences, Kayal Tarog al Fiki Mayim, Kenafshi Tarogi Lechalokim. He quotes Shir Hashirim here. No, excuse me, this is Tehillim. chapter Mem Beis. Again, this is all instinctual. Man has an instinct and a need for self-preservation, and he realized that it's the rise above himself. His flight towards God, his searching for God is natural. He wants to convert Chaye Shah, transitory life, into Chaye Olam, into eternal life. Okay, in the next paragraph, the Rav is going to point out some of the limitations of natural consciousness. Okay, we'll stop here.
We have to say that the revelational faith is only I only can know that revelation through faith. Is that like a definitive thing? I mean, can we argue that? So I think that.